It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
Welcome back to another week of the PowerMizzou.com podcast. This week, we're doing a little role reversal. I get to play radio host, and the radio host gets to be the interviewee and tell me whatever he feels like telling me. Welcome in Stephen St. John from the Border Patrol, 810 Sports Radio, WHB in Kansas City. Stephen, what's up, man?
You know what? Not a lot. I'm real happy to do this. This is very exciting that I get a chance to be on the other end of some hard-hitting questions for once.
Yeah, well, I don't ask hard-hitting questions. I just kind of try to fill the space. And also, I don't know where the dump button is here, so you got to behave yourself.
Well, just try to send me over, email me a word, list of words that I can't use so I don't get you in trouble.
Well, if you say one you can't use, then it just won't show up on the website and we'll be good.
Great.
All right. First things first, most important, I saw Jeremy Maclin at the Mizzou basketball game last night. So he is going to be a Kansas City Chief next year, right?
You know, I mentioned that on my show this morning, and I actually said that you went up to him and said, see you in Kansas City next year. And so a lot of people will be giving you credit if he signs with the Chiefs. But, I think there's a good chance. I mean, certainly I think wide receiver is – you know, one of the top two or three needs for the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, free safety and wide receiver, 1A and 1B. And it's clear that Andy Reid likes Jeremy Maclin. I think Jeremy Maclin likes Andy Reid. And you got Chase Daniel in the middle there to be mediator. So I think it's a pretty good shot, at least, that Maclin could end up wearing a Chiefs uniform next year.
And it's safe to say J-Mac might be a slight upgrade over the guys they were pulling in off the street to run out opposite Dwayne Bowe last year?
I think it would be he'd be terrific. He'd be a terrific upgrade for the Chiefs. And, you know, you just hope that he'd be healthy enough to be close to the old J-Mac. And I think he would be, but I think I really think the Chiefs, I know a lot of St. Louis fans on Power Mizzou would like to see him in a Rams uniform, but I think he's a far better fit for the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, I'm a Chiefs fan, and I don't care about the Rams, so that's where I'm coming from.
Oh, you just alienated half my audience. Just don't say you don't care about SLU or the Cardinals, and we'll be okay.
Oh boy.
All right. I want to talk about some of these other kids from Mizzou, and you guys obviously follow the NFL a lot. I don't know if you heard this or not. It may have been on your guys' station. I don't know. I just saw it on Twitter last night. Apparently, E.J. Gaines said somewhere on the radio yesterday he grew up in Kansas City with a dream of playing for the Oakland Raiders. What's going on with that?
You know, that's got to bother you. But, hey, look, if I don't know where that would come from. Because, you know, really, especially for younger kids, the Raiders, for the most part, have been awful. You know, I know that they had that one trip to the Super Bowl when Rich Gannon was the quarterback and they got humiliated by the Tampa Bay Bucks, but I guess that's one more trip to the Super Bowl than the Chiefs have had in anytime soon. But yeah, I don't know why anymore you would want to play for the Oakland Raiders. But look, if he gets drafted by the Chiefs, he'll forget all that and come and wear the Chiefs red at Arrowhead Stadium. But boy, and that, you know, hey, even though I'm kind of a homer when it comes to this spot, that's another guy that I would love to see drafted by the Chiefs, and that's another need because I think you saw the corners of the Chiefs exposed somewhat down the stretch and in the playoffs for Kansas City. So that's another kid that I think would be a perfect fit for the Chiefs.
Yeah, anyone that follows me on Twitter knows anyone that replaces Sean Smith will immediately become my favorite player in the Chiefs uniforms. So,
Dante Robinson already gone. I think Marcus Cooper's going to be okay. He was overexposed. They were able to get some good play out of him early, but some of his weaknesses popped up. And, you know, Sean Smith, I was curious as to why Miami Dolphins fans were so excited to see him go, and they were scratching their heads why he signed that lucrative contract with the Chiefs. And, boy, halfway through the season kind of figured out why the Dolphins were high-fiving each other when he left town.
You followed a lot of Chiefs drafts. I know only a couple with the guys in charge now, but does the hometown type factor ever come into play? I mean, like EJ being a Kansas City kid or a guy from Missouri, K-State, you know, if all other things are equal, can that break a tie? Or do you think, hey, it's all about just who the best football player is and that kind of PR stuff never comes into play?
You know, I think for the last regime under Scott Pioli, it meant nothing. And I think it was may have almost been a deterrent, because I remember Scott Pioli got together with several members of the on-air staff at WHB for a dinner before the season. And it was right after the draft, if memory serves correct. And it was the year that Denario Alexander didn't get drafted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he I think I brought it up at the dinner, because it was just like, hey, let's, you know, shoot the you know what, and talk some football and just, you know, get to know each other better. And, you know, brought up, well, you know what, was there any interest in Denario Alexander? You know, why did he fall through the draft? Any interest in signing him as an undrafted free agent? And you could tell that, number one, he had heard that from a bunch of people, and number two, he was kind of irritated by it. He was, you know, I don't understand why these people, why he keep hearing from all these people, I guess Missouri fans, about Denario Alexander. And he got the distinct feeling that he'd never even watched him play or scouted him. It was like he was stunned that so many people had asked about Denario Alexander. I'm thinking, dude, the guy's right down the highway from you. Did you not see what he did last year? Do you really not understand why he's fans, even Chiefs fans, want to see him in the Chiefs uniform? And, you know, and from that point on, it almost felt like, and there was other times, other things he said, that he almost wanted to prove that, you know, he was smarter than everyone else by going outside the box and drafting guys like Tyson Jackson and Jonathan Baldwin, which, you know, sometimes didn't make a whole lot of sense. But, you know, so I think that may have been something that he wanted to avoid, because he just wanted to show that he was smarter than everyone else. But with Andy Reid and John Dorsey, I think that, number one, they do spend a lot of time, you know, paying attention to Missouri, because, number one, they're a successful football program. Of course, Andy Reid has those ties, being a former coach and you know, spending time with the Missouri program. You know, they bring in Chase Daniel, and Chase Daniel is the kind of guy who will be in his coach's ears about different players that he likes. I know he campaigned for the Chiefs to sign Jarrell Jackson. And so, you know, I do think that there is some value to that for the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, you've seen them go after a couple of K-State players, and you know, they've even, for some reason, decided to bring in a Kansas player from time to time. So I think for this regime, I think they do see the value in it. And I think maybe if all things are equal, they you know, they might try to bring a guy in from Mizzou or a local school.
Talking with Stephen St. John, WHB in Kansas City, and another local kid. Man, this one is the most fascinating of all the Mizzou guys that might be drafted to me. Is Marcus Lucas an NFL receiver?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I don't know. He's got the size for it. He certainly has shown flashes, but I don't know if he's shown the consistency. I'd take a flyer on him. And again, you know, watching the Chiefs over the years, I've seen a lot of wide receivers that aren't as physically gifted as Marcus Lucas get opportunities to play in the NFL and make the roster for Kansas City. But, you know, I'm going to be fascinated to see how he does at the combine and then what he does once he does get into an NFL camp, because the size and athleticism and all everything else, I think would lead you to believe that he should have had maybe an even better career at Missouri and more production. But maybe we find out it was because there was so much talent around him at wide receiver that he just he was unable to stand out and be a go-to guy. But, you know, consistency, especially with his hands. He made a lot of big plays, though, his senior year. But I think consistency is what he is going to have to work on. And it'll be very interesting. It's very tough to figure out whether or not he's going to make it and to be able to be a productive player in the NFL. But I wouldn't bet against him.
I know you guys have a lot of NFL guys, a lot of draft experts on your show. Consensus, I think, is that Coney Ealy is going to be long gone before Kansas City would ever even get a chance, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's going to be a couple of teams that actually fall in love with him and maybe even move up to try to get him, because I think based on the people that I've talked to, he's looked upon as the second best defensive end behind Clowney. So, yeah, I don't think I don't think the Chiefs will have the opportunity to draft him. And I'm going to tell you what, if he did fall, or, you know, if he was there, I think the Chiefs might consider it, because when you look at what Andy Reid has done in the first round of drafts, he likes to draft the big guys. He likes to go after guys in the trenches. And I do think that the Chiefs could use a nice upgrade at defensive end over, you know, at some point over Tyson Jackson. You know, Mike DeVito was a nice player last year. But that's a spot that I could certainly see the Chiefs going after in the draft, based on the history of what Andy Reid did when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, the other defensive end from Missouri. The story has kind of faded onto the back burner after a few days. But just either the NFL guys you've had on your show, I don't know if you've talked to anybody at Arrowhead on or off the record. Have the last 2 weeks changed what people are going to think of Michael Sam in May, do you think?
You know, I think that you know, now some of the hoopla has died down a little bit, and there have been more and more, you know, draft guys and football guys, you know, talking about what he can and can't do on the football field. And you think about that article on the Monday Morning Quarterback, when, you know, they talked about a lot of his different weaknesses and pointed out that, you know, Coney Ealy and even Marcus Golden were the better NFL prospects. You know, I just think his success is going to be based. So, and this can be said for a lot of these kids that come out of school and you know, go to the NFL. His success is going to be based so heavily on where he goes and what type of environment, as far as you know, defensively, and how they use him. You could totally see him going to a team like Seattle or a team like New England that understands the value of a pass rusher and utilizing a guy in the right spots as a third down situational pass rusher and trying to make him. And even though that SI or that Monday Morning Quarterback column kind of tried to blow up the idea that he could be a special teams guy, you know, at the end of the day, it's about effort and it's about heart and it's about committing yourself to being a good special teams player. And I think Michael Sam has that opportunity, has all those traits, maybe not physically, but mentally. I think it's a big part of being a good special teams player. I just think if he goes to the right team that doesn't expect him to be an every down player right away and doesn't put him in situations where he's not going to succeed and understands his value as a pass rusher, like, you know, and again, here I go, you know, like the Chiefs, where they have just a fantastic special teams coach in Dave Tobe, and they do have a need. Say, for instance, you know, look, Tamba Haali and Justin Houston, they're the starters. There's no doubt about that. If they draft a guy like Michael Sam in the fourth round or the fifth round, there's absolutely no expectations of him coming in and winning a starting spot. But you saw what happened when Tamba Haali went down and Justin Houston went down, that there was no pass rush behind them. And the Chiefs, and especially a defensive coordinator like Bob Sutton, would have tremendous use for a situational pass rusher, a third down pass rusher like Michael Sam. And so I think that the right team, and it only takes one, but I think he'll go and you know, anywhere, maybe third round if he has great workouts and a great combine, or slips maybe fourth or fifth round, but someone's going to find him a spot as a situational pass rusher. If they have the right expectations and use him the right way, I think he'll be fine in the NFL. And I think it's going to be one of those playoff caliber teams that are looking to add to their defense and don't care what scouts say and just understand the value of a guy that can get after the quarterback.
Last football question for you, and it's not really a football question, but not only is somebody who talks about this stuff every day, but as a Missouri fan, what was your just reaction to the whole, you know, Sunday night Sam's interview and then the next two or three days, just kind of sitting back and having a chance to digest it? What do you think about the whole story?
You know, I mean, to be honest with you, I thought it was awesome. You know, I had a chance this week to speak. I know you've done this recently, to speak at the Tiger Club of Kansas City. And somebody asked me that question when I was going through the question and answer session at the end of my gig, and, you know, just asked me, you know, what do you think has been the national perception and what's been my perception? I just think it's been terrific the way Missouri handled it, the way Michael Sam handled it, And, you know, for the most part, and there's always going to be detractors, there's always going to be negative people, but I really can't see how it could have been more positive for the Missouri Tigers. And even though I haven't been the biggest fan of his work, I really like the piece that Rick Riley wrote and giving kudos to Missouri and people in Missouri. And then just that idea of, you know, the Stand for Sam and what they did outside the you know, the basketball game when they were, you know, celebrating Michael Sam and basically showing that, you know, they had his back and they were going to stand with him. I mean, I think for the most part, it's all positive vibes. And you know, I remember having a conversation with my 17-year-old, and he's as big of a Missouri fan as you find, and so is my 10-year-old. And I just said, hey, you know, what do you think? And, you know, we forget that, you know, the younger generations obviously don't look at things and don't look at social issues the same way that we do. And, you know, my kid just said, you know, I don't know why people are making such a big deal of it. You know, who cares, you know, what he does in his personal life. He's a really good football player. I think it's awesome. I think, you know what, there's probably, you know, especially, you know, like the people on campus and the people that went to school with him that just didn't really care that much and just cared about he was a good guy and he was a good football player. I think, you know, I think there's a lot more people out there, especially the younger generation, that share that sentiment, that feel that way. And I think especially in the view of those people, I think Missouri looked like just a great place to be and a great place to go to school and a great atmosphere based on how they handled themselves and how really everyone handled themselves around Michael Sam and how Michael Sam handled himself. I think at the end of the day, Missouri looked great and so did Michael Sam.
You mentioned your kids, and I know they're huge fans. So let's say all of these guys we're talking about get drafted. None of them get drafted by the Chiefs. Which jersey are they getting for Christmas?
Wow. Well, like the based on what NFL team?
No, just the Mizzou guys. I mean, just as a player, is it dependent on what team they go to? Or like, do you say, you know, does your kid love LaDainian Washington? Wherever he goes, that's the jersey he's getting, something like that.
You know, I don't know if he's going to make it, but my son Phil is demanding that Andrew Wilson get drafted in the first three rounds, which, okay, I've told him that's not going to happen. But he's a big fan of Andrew Wilson, so we'll have to wait and see on that. And you know, I'm pretty proud to say that you know, Richie, my 17-year-old, told me as long as it's not the Chargers, Broncos, or Raiders, he'd like to get a Michael Sam jersey. I said, okay, I'm down with that.
All right, he's got his priorities in order then.
Right.
All right, let's switch to basketball for a minute and another, I don't know, 2 hours of, hey, they won last night. Any more reaction than that to the win over Vanderbilt?
You know, I was watching the game last night with my 10-year-old son, and twice I caught him. He was sitting in a chair behind me. In the first half, I looked back, and he was doing his homework instead of watching the game. And that is a true story. And so usually it's the other way around. So, you know, you have to finish your homework, and then you watch the game. He was freely choosing to do math instead of watching the first half. So that is probably the most damning statement I can make about what we saw in the 21-20 shootouts in the first half of the game against Vanderbilt. But hey, look, let's just call it what it was. That was a bad half of basketball. And really, for the most part, it was not a very pretty basketball game, save for that quick 8-0 spurt that Missouri went on when they essentially gave themselves enough room to win the game. But even the way they closed it, not hitting free throws, and I don't know how Vanderbilt even had their hands on the ball with even the slightest chance to tie the game at the end. But they win. You win three in a row. You put yourself in a situation where you're 7-6. And now, you know, if you go and you beat Alabama, and, you know, every matchup this Saturday is very easy to see who you root for and how it benefits Missouri. And if things go the right way, and, you know, the next two games by Tuesday night, Missouri could be, you know, the team in third place right behind Florida and Kentucky in the SEC. You know, they should be able to beat Alabama. Even though Georgia has a nice record, they should go to Georgia and win. And you look and you think, okay, I can think of all these reasons why Missouri's better than these teams and why they should blow out Vanderbilt at home and why they should go to Alabama and win on the road. But then you watch the game and it doesn't happen. And it's really hard to put your finger on the situation. You know, I went to the game when they played Hawaii at Sprint Center, and you're watching the game and you're thinking, man, there's just something about this team. There's something that's lacking, and I get it. I know the bigs aren't very good right now, and they leave a lot to be desired, but it just seems for whatever reason, you know, they just never quite have the performance that you're looking for, whether it's beating a bad team like you should, whether it's, you know, doing whatever they can to win that game, even though they played pretty well, you know, against Kentucky or at Florida or at Ole Miss, when the game's on the line, somehow the wrong guy gets open for three and has a back-breaking shot against Mizzou when they need a stop. So, you know, look, it's great that they've won three in a row. Now they need to go and they need to win these road games, because I think if they win four of their last five in any fashion, they're safely in the tournament and they don't have to worry about what happens in Atlanta. But if they only win three out of five or less, then they certainly have to do some work in the SEC tournament.
Well, the story about your kid doing his homework is now my favorite story about last night's game. Toppin, I don't know if you saw the guy on our message board that said he let his kid stay up late to watch the game. And at halftime, his kid said, "Dad, can you take me to bed and read me the dinosaur book?" So that's about how it went last night.
Hey, I DVR'd that game, and I'm going to use it next time one of these kids act up or they're in trouble. So I'm going to go make you watch the damn first half of the Missouri-Vanderbilt game, and I'm hoping that they're going to get a good reaction and say, "Okay, Dad, I'm going to go do the chores right now."
In the end, though, tournament team? I mean, I think – we tend to you get to follow a little more national. I focus on just Missouri. You focus on some of these other teams. I mean, I think we forget how many just kind of average teams to below average teams are on the bubble.
The last, you know, I don't know, three or four national guys that I've had on the show have all said, you know, very quickly, yes, Missouri is a tournament team. Andy Katz this morning. Does Missouri make the tournament? He said, yes, Missouri makes the tournament. They're good enough to make the tournament. They're going to make the tournament. Mike DeCourcy thinks the same thing. But again, you know, they say it, and then Missouri doesn't quite play to the level that they're capable of, in my opinion. But, yeah, I think even right now, even though they've given me reasons to say that they're not, I do think they're a tournament team, and for some reason I do believe they're going to win four of their last five down the stretch, and I think they're going to be in. And then we'll see. You know, again, it's all about matchups in the NCAA tournament for anyone. But if they get the right matchup and, you know, and Clarkson and Brown do what they're capable of, and even Ross, you know, yeah, they can win a game in the tournament. And going back to what you've talked about from the beginning of the season, if this team goes to the NCAA tournament and they win a game, I think that would be a heck of a season for Frank Haith. And let's be honest, we'd all like to see Frank Haith get a win in the NCAA tournament. But I will say, yes, it's a tournament team, and most of the national pundits that I talk to agree that the Missouri's headed to the NCAA tournament.
All right, we've taken a ton of your time. Just want to finish up with some quick ones here. All right, Missouri. Let's say Missouri gets in the tournament. Just as a fan, as a member of the media, you get to cover this game. Ideal matchup, round one. Who do you want to play?
I mean, honestly, I would like, you know, round one, that's tough. I would like Missouri to be the 8-9 game against the one seed, either Kansas or Wichita State. And that'd be awesome. And, you know, my luck or our luck, Missouri fan base's luck that, they would lose in the 8-9 game, wouldn't see what would happen in the second round, or I guess we call it the third round now. So I think there would be, especially with Kansas, there would be so much pressure on Kansas. You're supposed to win this game. You got to win this game, and that would be freaking awesome. But, you know, as far as the first-round matchup or something like that, I mean, I don't know. If you're going to go, you might as well have some fun. I'd like to see him, you know, matched up with the team. It's probably not going to work out because of the seeds, but I could see him go up with a team like Creighton, see what they could do with, you know, Doug McDermott, a team like that, and have some fun with it.
I want to see.
At the end of the day, yeah, I don't care. I just want to go up against someone they can beat. You know what I mean?
I want to see. Here's what I want to see. I want to see Missouri-Memphis so that the Mike Dixon posts literally break the internet. Then if they win that one, I'm round two, I'm good with Wichita, I'm good with Kansas, and I'm good with SLU. Just make it interesting for me.
Okay, there we go. So then I'll say, because of the level of entertainment that I receive, especially when there was the unofficial St. Louis U George Mason game thread last night.
Yes,
excellent. On Power Review, which I had a hard time trying to decipher which posts were real or which were smart-ass, but regardless, I loved all of them, and I haven't been that entertained by Thread in a while. I would love to see Missouri play SLU, because I do believe, and I guess maybe I shouldn't wish this because you're my friend, but I believe that I think just Power Mizzou just would explode into the atmosphere.
Yeah, rule number one, if you read a post on Power Mizzou, smartass is probably a good, safe first bet. Maybe different, but that's a good bet.
And I didn't even know. I kept reading it. I go, I don't even know why I'm enjoying this, but this is fantastic, and I don't want it to ever end.
All right, now, Big 12 tournaments in Kansas City. I know for you personally, it's lost a little bit since Missouri's not there. Has the event lost anything with Missouri not there?
Well, it has for me, that's something that, I usually have to work at the tournament and work the Fan Fest across the street at Power and Light. And look, there's nothing like being able to have fun all day and then walk across the street to Sprint Center and watch Missouri play in the tournament. And that was probably one of the most fun, three-day spans as a Missouri fan I've had when Missouri won their last Big 12 tournament. It was just incredible. But, I think most people outside of the Missouri fan base still love the Big 12 tournament. It's a fantastic event. I mean, I still love it. It's just not – it'll never be the same. Because, I'm a Missouri fan, and this will be the first time, actually, that I'm not going to be in Kansas City for the Big 12 tournament, because I call UMKC men's and women's home basketball games, and, they've always been in the Summit League and their tournament up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, but it's never fallen the same time as the Big 12 tournament, but this year it is, and UMKC wants me to go because it's their first tournament in the WAC, and it's going to be in Las Vegas. And so they had to twist my arm, so I've agreed to go. But I can promise you this, there's no way I would ever miss the Big 12 tournament if Missouri was still in it. But you know what? Call some games in Vegas, go to the sports book, and keep my eyes on all the good action, especially the SEC tournament. But for me, yeah, I mean, it sucks. I'd get to pull my kids out of school and go have fun all day, and then watch Missouri. And, look, I'm glad Missouri's in the SEC. I'm glad they are fantastic in football in the SEC. It's been awesome. But there is part of me that really misses the chance to watch Missouri play in Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament.
All right, two more for you. First one, media member question. You get to have anyone associated with Missouri athletics on your show. You'd ask them one question, and you know you get an honest answer. Who do you have on, and what question do you ask?
Quinn Snyder, what really happened? Take me to
a you could fill
days.
A whole week with that.
But still, wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, like, what really? Because he's still why I put the request everywhere he goes. Like every stop he makes, make my producer send the request to get him on the show. Like, every time he gets a new job wherever he goes, okay, but the request is, come on, I can just do it. It's a new organization. You don't know. He never says yes. I don't think he ever will say yes, but I'll never stop asking. And even if he did come on the show, I don't know what he would say. But I think at some point there's going to be enough time. I would just like to – I'd like to read about it. I'd like to hear it. Hear what really happened. How was Gary Link involved? Well, give us the last couple of days, And so maybe an oral history. I'd like to read that, something like that. But that would probably be a lot of fun for me because, I was there for a lot of it. And I was lucky enough to go out there and cover the team when they played in San Jose and they lost in the Elite Eight. And it was a lot of fun while things were going great, and it was one of the most bizarre things I've ever been around when things fell apart. So I'd like to hear from the people that were involved what really happened behind the scenes.
I like that. And last one, all right, if you're baseball fans, if you're Cardinals fans and you're listening to this, turn it off for the last 45 seconds, however long this takes. This is the time of year, every year, where all my friends are saying, all right, man, this is the year they're going to do it. And I just constantly say, I don't know why you'd think they're going to do it. They haven't been to the playoffs since I was 9. They're not going to the playoffs this year. They're going to lose like 15 in a row in May. So convince me I'm wrong. Royals, any chance?
Do you want me to lie to you or tell you the truth?
I want the truth because I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year.
I'm with you. I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year. I'm not a huge fan of the Jason Vargas signing. I think it was a mistake. They've kind of spread their money around and they're giving, Hochever $5 million to be in the bullpen and, Wade Davis getting his money to bring back Bruce Jenner $4.5 million and give Vargas, you know, $8 million a year for 4 years. I think when it's all said and done, they could have got Irvin Santana for that and done a little better at upgrading the baseball team. And it's just, I'll be honest with you, it's really hard in general, knowing what I know and being around the organization, to root for the Glass family, even though I love the Royals, true blue, lifelong fan, always will be, and I would be thrilled more than anybody to be able to take my sons to a playoff game for the first time in their lives. But I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year, and I think it's going to take 91 or 92 wins to get there, and I don't think they've got it in them. So maybe since I'm saying no, then it's be a reverse jinx, and they'll do it, and I hope it ends up that way. But I'm going to say no, they might be a 500 team, but I think when it's all said and done, I'm going to vomit when I watch Will Myers hit 40 home runs a year in Tampa.
Hey, that's all right. At least I get to listen to Nate and Ned for another year. So
That is always a treat for everyone that listens.
All right, Steven. Appreciate it, man. And we'll go back to our usual roles. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning, huh?
That sounds good to me. And, you know, even though I don't post very much, I always enjoy reading the Tigers Lair at PowerMazoo.com. I'm there probably too much, and my wife yells at me for it, because when she talks to me and I'm looking on my phone, she always, "You're on that damn PowerMazoo, aren't you?" No, I'm doing bills. I'm doing something productive. So,
like I always say, a lot worse things you could be looking at.
M-I-Z, baby.
All right, Steven, have a good one, man.
Thank you.
Steven St. John, 810 WHB. You can listen online, 810WHB.com. It's a great show, 6 to 10 every morning. Well, Monday through Friday anyway. Border Patrol. Steven is the biggest Mizzou fan you're probably going to find in the media. And they get a lot of great guests on that show. So encourage everybody to take a listen. I will be on with those guys somewhere around 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. I hope you enjoyed this one. We'll be back on the podcast next week.